is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Beautiful. This is, in fact, Loveline. He is Dr. Drew. I'm Danny Bonaducci. And our guest band tonight, or at least the guitarist, lead guitarist, if you will.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. Our guest band, Hoobastank, is here with us. That's Dan Eshrin. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you, man?
Extraordinarily well. How you doing, Doc?
Good. I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Just listening to you. Enjoying sitting back while you take the reins. Awesome.
Is that what it is? You just relax while I run this show, while I push
Wonderful.
All these buttons that scare me?
Good time.
You know, I listened last night, and I heard you for the first time, and last night.
Yeah.
Really good.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Drew, you were really good, too.
Well, God bless you.
Hey, I have a question. You were on a mini bike, and you cracked your skull open and actually had brain surgery while on tour, right?
Yeah. It actually ended the tour.
That ended the tour.
Brain surgery
will do that.
Yeah, you know, I got clotheslined by this rope and hit my head on the concrete and had to be rushed to the emergency room.
So
it was ugly.
My question:
what
do you
have done? The removal of a blood clot or something?
Yeah.
Nice.
Nah, yeah, that's what it was.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Really? He's so good. He always gets it
he
right.
He can smell it.
And can. You'll get annoyed after a while with him being able to do that. You know, a girl will call up and say, you know, I think I'm allergic to roses. And he'll say, were you molested at 7? I was.
I don't know
how he does it. But my question is, on the cover of the CD inside of you, there's an x-ray of a skeleton.
Is that
you?
No, it's not me.
Oh, dude, I went for such a build-up, too. I thought this was totally your brain surgery.
I don't think it is. I haven't heard that. I know on the back of this new record that just came out today.
That's right. That would be Every Man, the new CD in stores today.
You know, everybody's been asking us if this is somebody's thumbprint or fingerprint on the front cover, and I don't know whose that is, but on the back, that is my hand.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Is that a police blot or anything?
I don't remember, dude. I was really drunk or something.
You know, that's my answer to almost everything, huh, Doc?
It's going to be an interesting show of both you guys chiming in with that. But Dan, do you still have a burr hole in your head?
What's that?
Like a little dent or a hole in your head?
Oh, yeah. You know, I have a big one. I mean, I have 30 stitches in my head.
But so it's still a piece of your skull missing, right?
Yeah. And the shorter my hair gets, I noticed that it looks like the side of my head's a little bit flatter than it was before I had the surgery.
Nice.
I don't know if that's possible, but it's very strange.
Yeah, well, they take your skull off, basically. I mean, yeah.
You know what? I think I probably talked to you about this one time, too. Ever since my surgery, my funny bone on my right arm is just, it's really overly sensitive. Very, like, just weird. It's very strange.
Interesting. And then where's the burr hole on the left side?
Yeah.
So it's probably the sensory area of your peripheral nervous system is sort of affected by the what was the pressure on the brain up there.
Yeah, and if I hit my funny bone, not even hard, I'll freak.
Really?
It kills. It hurts so bad.
Well, I wonder if maybe you just injured that when you were in the motorcycle accident. Maybe that was actually a peripheral injury, not something to do with the brain surgery.
I mean, it was a freak accident. I was going 5 miles an hour, 3 feet above the ground.
Okay, at least now it's going over 100.
Yeah. You know, my mind's, I shouldn't even brought that up. You know,
do you know the only reason, you'll love this because this goes right with your fingerprints. The only reason I know I was going over 100 miles an hour when I crashed is because that's what the National Enquirer said. Because I have no recollection at all.
How did they know?
Somebody called him from the scene.
Really?
From the scene. Somebody standing over my lifeless body.
With a radar gun.
I guess witnesses say he was traveling well over 100 miles an hour.
What did you do? Just spill the bike? What happened?
Me or Dan?
No, you.
I swear to God, I have not only no recollection of the bike wreck, but I have no clear recollection of the next, like, 4 days. And most of from about my watch up past my elbow on the top of my left arm is all numb and has stayed numb.
Nice. Yeah, as I said, my left side of my head is numb. I have no feeling there.
Isn't that a drag?
Yeah, and I don't remember, but like a few days afterwards, I saw a video that our singer Doug took on his phone, and I just recently saw it of him coming into the room. My head's all wrapped up, you know, and I'm awake, but I really don't remember any of it.
All right, if you have called 1-800-LOVE-191 for answer to almost any questions, I'm guessing there's one person either on that microphone, or that microphone. One of us should be able to answer any questions. You want to hit some, Doc?
Yes.
All right, let's, where's the one? Oh, this could be interesting right here. This is Chelsea, and she's wondering if she is, Wrong button there. This is Chelsea, and she's wondering if she can be allergic to latex, and that gives you all the possibilities you can imagine. What's up, Chelsea?
Hey, I'm a big fan of Hoop Sync and of you, Danny, and listen to Love Line. Oh, sorry. Can't say that.
Woo! Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate that kind of
Chelsea.
Language.
Way to go.
All right, so do we go back to Chelsea?
You got to let things reset a little bit here. Anderson, we good to go back? All right, go back.
All right, thank you so much, because I really wanted to hear this. Okay, hey, Chelsea, I want you to do me a favor. You're a big fan of Who Mistake. You're a big fan of me. You're a big fan of Dr. June Loveline. You have to not curse, okay?
Or slut, bitch. I listen to you guys all the time. It was a slip, and I don't apologize.
It'll never happen again. I'll come to your house.
Giggity, giggity.
All right. But, yeah, like, every time I have sex with latex condoms, and personally, really, though, I haven't ever had sex with, like, lambskin or anything like that, but anytime I use, like, your normal Trojan condoms, every time, like, during sex, it dries out, it starts to irritate. It's really uncomfortable. A lot of times I have to change the condom because I feel like, oh, maybe the lube isn't, and maybe the lube's coming off or whatever.
Wait, change the brand or change during the act? Like during sex, do you say, dude, you got to switch condoms?
Yeah.
Change out condoms. Well, look, that could be a latex.
I could never last that long, I don't think.
There could be a latex sensitivity, but most latex sensitivities are much more exuberant. I mean, you really get like a rash and swelling and itching and all that kind of good stuff.
After I have sex, like if I go home, you know, or pee and whatever, wash up, like it burns.
I know what you're describing is irritation. How long do you have sex with the condom on? I mean, what's the duration of time before you start noticing the irritation?
Well, really, even with sex without condoms, I can really it gets irritated. But with the condoms, it starts about 10-15 minutes into it.
Most women can't go that long, Chelsea. You go more than 10 minutes, a lot of women start to get irritation, and when you add a condom to the mix, and of course, it can be a little more, you know, problematic.
Hey,
so no, that's not a latex allergy. That is just the condom is irritating and you're going longer than your body can withstand. You might want to add some lubricant to the mix. That might help a little bit.
And I just want to give you this troublesome tip right here. At your age, if you're with a guy that can hold out for more than 10 minutes, he's starting not to like you as much as he used to. I'm telling you, it's true.
No,
the day I can hold out for more than 11 minutes, I am so over that girl. Those are the facts.
The guys I'm with are usually about 20 to 23, so I'm assuming they can last longer than 15 minutes.
Not you,
no,
really.
No, you're wrong. Chicks don't know anything about guys. It surprises me every night. The chicks, like, guys know chicks are really complicated and have to work really hard to keep them happy and do all this stuff. Guys are simple, right, Doc?
Oh, ridiculous.
Ridiculously simple. Yet chicks try and figure us out. Stop thinking, you'll have us.
Right. They try to make it a big deal. It's like with the puzzle. Oh, it's a shrouded mystery. Oh, what do guys really want? Nothing much.
They want sex and maybe money and Heather Locklear 10 years ago.
And no cuddling.
Matter of fact, if you're a woman, if immediately after sex you could just turn into pizza and beer, you're the perfect girl. I just thought I'd get that out of my
system.
Can you
imagine? I mean, think about it, Dan. Think how much time and ink is spilt over the front pages of all the women's magazines where they, you know, sort of spend, you know, thousands of pages wondering how to turn a guy on, how to flip his cookie, how to, you know, the best in bed. Guys do not give a rat's ass about any of that stuff.
Yeah, who's coming up with those? Women, right?
Women, absolutely. Right. Totally. On the cover of Cosmo, it said one time, because I would use, when I was doing another radio show and talking to women, I would often prep my show with Cosmo. I would call it the hot sheet, because it just had all this stuff in it, but it was as fake as, like, the National Star or one of those. Because one of them said, how to have a 20-minute orgasm. I've been married 16 years. My wife hasn't had 20 minutes of orgasms combined. And I would assume 8 minutes of that was fake. You know, who does that?
Nobody.
They can't even be healthy, right, Doc?
Well, there are those. There's that one tiny percentage, you know, less than 5% of all women that can have recurrent orgasms, one right after the other, to the point of exhaustion. They have no refractoriness. They'll have an orgasm every 30 seconds or so. But that is a certain biological subset, and that's them, and you can't turn somebody into them. And nor can you make them into somebody who has difficulty having an orgasm.
Okay, we have got so many bizarre calls, I don't know which to take. By the way, if you are just joining us, we've got Dan Estrin, guitar player, if you will, but just from Who Mistake, they've got a new CD. It hits stores today, I believe. Every Man for Himself, great title, by the way.
Thank you.
Very cool title, you're welcome. All right, here we go right here. Hey, Ashley.
Uh-huh, hi.
How you doing? Hi.
Good.
What's up?
Okay, my question is, I've been married to my husband for about 3 years now, and we have two kids together. And we will be dead asleep. It'll be like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he will, I will get woken up by him on top of me, like having sex with me.
Right,
he
He
will be dead asleep until he ejaculates, and then he'll wake up.
Oh, you know, you're kidding.
No, that happens. Yeah. It's sort of a rare form of sleepwalking, basically. It's sort of a relative of that. In fact, I was just talking to a sleep specialist, and he was saying, yeah, this happens, and people can do almost anything in their sleep. They're typically dreaming about what they're doing, and they sort of act it out. But, you know, it's one of them things. There's not much you can really do about it. Is he otherwise okay? Is he on a medication? Is he sleeping normally? Yeah. Is he doing drugs?
I mean, he sleeps fine until, I mean, this happens all the time now.
And well, let me ask you this. Are you denying him sex?
Oh, no.
See, I would think most girls would be psyched to have this because then they're always getting laid, you know?
Right. Now, yeah. There are some chicks that have other stuff to do. I can't believe it because I don't know any guys with other stuff to do, but some chicks would rather shop. And which when you first said that your husband has sex with you while you're asleep, that was kind of a rule in my house, that was okay because I would get up for work at 3:30 in the morning and I would go take a shower and get ready if there was enough time.
As you were awake.
Yeah, but she wasn't. And as gently as I could, I'd just sort of get started, and she'd wake up and kind of participate, and being a guy who's still attracted to his wife, it'd all be over in 3 or 4 more minutes, and to work, I'm gone.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah, it was great.
Just boom, just get the job done and get out.
Exactly, because otherwise she could say, no, honey, I'm busy, I gotta make lunches, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, you start like that, you ninja sex. and I think you're into something there. So that's it.
Stealth sex.
No,
it's a sleep disorder, and he doesn't have sleep rages, and he's not doing anything else weird in his sleep, right?
No, that's all he ever does.
Yeah.
But it gets to the point where I'm, like, dead asleep, and I am, like, so tired that I have to get up in the morning, and it kind of irritates me sometimes.
I know. It's funny. We hear about it fairly frequently on Loveline, and I was talking to a sleep specialist about 2 weeks ago, and he was saying, oh, yeah, it's very rare. Very is reported. But, oh, my goodness, I've never actually seen it. I said, yeah, we hear about once a month on Loveline.
Yeah.
And it happens. It happens quite
so
a bit.
Just
and it,
them, like,
it doesn't. It's like sleep, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything, and there's not much can be done with it, it's unfortunate, except sort of try to structure his sleep.
See, I don't necessarily. In this case, I kind of believe it, but that's the kind of thing you say if you're caught sleeping with the big girl. I didn't really mean to. I was sleep boning. It's an accident. It's a thing that happens to me. All right, this is so cool if it's legitimate. I just don't know if it is or not. Hey, Jake.
Hi.
What do you got for us on Loveline?
I'm a polygamist, and my wives are turning on me, and I don't know what to do.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, you know it.
Do we all agree he's a big fat liar?
Yeah, but go ahead. Let's hear the story.
All right, cool.
Well, I had my first marriage when I was around 18.
Are you a Mormon?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Where were the golden tablets found?
Utah.
Okay, he's not a Mormon. Bye. Ha! That's what'll happen when you read a book or two, buddy.
Well done.
Thank you. Wrong state, even. I think we had this kind of call before. This is Jessica. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Well, you don't sound fine.
I'm laying in bed, chilling.
You sound like you're laying in bed dying. All right, you called Loveline. What's up?
I was told after 7 years of not having sex, not doing nothing, that a woman's cherry grows back.
Her what?
Her cherry grows back.
No, ain't nothing gonna bring that back other than surgery.
Ain't nothing.
Ain't nothing.
No, but I think poor grammar and laziness are a way to attract men so you can find out. bye, Jessica. thank you very much. Thank you. I'll be here all week. I'm getting some applause. That's very nice. You know what? A couple of these calls make me very nervous tonight.
Okay.
There are people
like what?
Really out there. Before we talk to Ben, and Ben, I think, is okay, there's one that says, my mentally retarded sister thinks she's a lesbian, but does she even understand?
Ooh,
that's such a touchy subject. Are you comfortable with that?
Interesting, yeah.
Okay, it is interesting. I just get so nervous. You don't know how many apologies.
I'm here. I'm your safety net. I'm here to take care of you.
A real doctor, thank you. I will take it next. Ben.
Yo.
Ben, you there, buddy?
What's going on, buddy Gucci?
You're here with Dr. Drew, me, and, of course, Dan from Who Was Stank. They've got an ECD, and it comes out today.
Long time. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Well, hey, Dr. Drew, I got a question. Probably 4 years ago or so, I bought a motorcycle off my little brother, right, as a favor.
You did what?
Bought a motorcycle off my brother.
Okay.
Nice 92 Nighthawk 750. 3 months later, right, never ridden a bike. I was just going to buy it, sell it for, make some money. I put the damn thing in a ditch.
All right.
Face plant, rode on my face for 30 feet, bit ass over tea kettle, and ended up ripping the handlebars off and the mirror off with my testicles. And
nice.
Opened up my, I guess, my man sack.
Nice.
And I was kind of wondering, it's been a while since I didn't really think about it, so you guys were just talking about it, but that testicle seems to be smaller and tucked up more now, and
yeah.
I wonder if it's like post-trauma or anything from it, or like...
Yeah, hold on. He's referring to what I said last night. You're actually listening to last night's show. We were talking about a young kid. He was pre-adolescent.
Oh, I remember this. Okay, right.
Yeah, who tore his testicle on, I think it was a handlebar as he flipped over a bike.
Yeah.
And ran behind a billboard. If that guy's still listening, he should call it. He's got to be in his 20s now. And he looked down, and his testicles hanging out of the scrotum. He tucked it back in. Never told anybody, and survived it. Yeah, but
wow.
Yeah. Of course,
well, luckily enough, I crashed my bike across the street from a motorcycle shop and a fire department.
Nice. Well, of course, that testicle is going to be different than the other side. There's scarring. It can be positioned differently. It can be, you know, it can sort of die basically and shrivel up.
Is it pretty much dead? Probably, though. Do you think? I mean,
probably. You only need one. Any. It's hard. You'd have to get an ultrasound of it to know for sure. But you only need one anyway. The other one will compensate.
The ultrasound. I don't ever want one of those ever again. It hurts too much.
Why?
Anybody listening?
What?
When they say it's not going to hurt, don't believe them.
An ultrasound? I've had a bunch of them.
Are you serious? Oh,
yeah.
That's too much. And she's like, oh, doesn't that look cute in the screen? Oh, my God.
I mean, they push too hard in the testing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then and then she it was like, got sensory overload. Like, she turned the heat up on the little dial guy. And, oh, my God. That almost killed me.
No, you're talking about the ultrasound that you do for muscle sort of massage, right?
Yeah, I don't know. They put the cold gel on it. And then they post-surgery and everything. They go back in there and check it out.
All right, Ben, the thing to keep in mind is you don't need both of them. Okay, I have a friend. Well, Lance Armstrong only has one. What other evidence do you need that you don't need two? But I have a friend who lost one to testicular cancer and went to a sperm bank to back things up just in case. Guy won't stop breeding, so you really only need the one. All right, you want to? Do we have time to at least start the call that made me scared?
Absolutely.
All righty, Melissa, you are on Loveline. What's up?
Hi, I have a quick question, I guess. My sister is, let's see, she's 19 right now, but mentally she's like third or fifth grade level.
Okay.
And
because of what kind of condition?
Huh?
What condition does she have that's making her that way?
I'm not sure. From as long as I can remember, she's always been kind of slow ever since she was born.
Well, she's 19, did you say?
Yeah.
And has the mental capacity of a fifth grader. I don't mean to be rude in any way, but that's not slow. That's retarded, for lack of a better word.
Well, I'm nice, so.
As am I. It's the right word.
she doesn't have Down syndrome or anything of that sort.
Right, or cerebral palsy.
I have a cousin who's like that. Look at pictures when she was an infant. It looks like she has Down syndrome, but nobody's diagnosed her with that here lately.
Right. You really have a cousin that's like that?
Yeah, I have a cousin who's like that, but she's like 31 or something like that.
Does she live independently?
No, she lives in a home, actually.
She does? And do you deal with her?
Well, I've gone to visit her, and I talk to her every once in a while, yeah.
So the second part of this question, then, you might be able to relate to, knowing somebody who has a diminished mental capacity of that of a child. Melissa, what is your big question?
Well, she revealed to me today that there's a girl that likes her, and she thinks she might be gay.
Did she know what name?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Does your cousin, could she grasp that theory?
She probably could.
Oh, really?
But,
She doesn't really talk about that. The thing about my sister, if you just first meet her, you can't really tell that she's slow. You just actually really, really have to know her. It's weird. Like, the doctors even explained it to my foster mom.
Your foster?
I heard that too, Doc. I'm learning from you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you mean you're
both foster kids?
Why?
Long story.
Well, I'm ready.
We were both sexually molested as kids growing up. Me, more me than her, but...
Okay, Melissa, as sympathetic as I am to that and working with an expert in this area, that would be Dr. Drew, although I'm sure Dan and Dan can, you know, try and help you out on this. Hold on a minute, because we have to take a quick break, and we're going to come directly back to you, okay? We have got Dan Eschen from Who's Thank in the studio with us. Our phone numbers are 1-800-LOVE-191. He's Dr. Drew. We'll be right back. All right, kids, welcome back to Loveline. Once again, our phone numbers are 1-800-LOVE-191. He is Dr. Drew. He is Dan Eschen from Hoobastank. We're going to play a little of their music today. And by the way, their new CD, Every Man for Himself, comes out today. Hits stores today, right?
Hey, wow.
Came out today, and I just got word that Doug, our singer, is on his way here. He's probably listening right now, so Doug, hurry up.
Yo, what up, Doug? When last we left, we were talking to Melissa, and I know the word foster home hit you as it did me, yeah. Doc, and then she gave a couple of the magic words, but I've got one concern I wouldn't mind getting off my chest right away, and that is, Melissa, retarded, I believe, starts at an IQ of 70 and below, if I am not mistaken. That would be the high end of 70. Is that correct, Doc?
I think that's right.
Right, I believe that's right, too. Which would make, I know it's only a movie, but that would make, like, Forrest Gump the high end of mental retardation.
Right.
So if you don't know till you talk to her for a while, she's probably not retarded.
Yeah.
Any chance of that, Melissa?
Well, I don't know. She's had the test done, and she gets SSI for right now and all that stuff, but they say she's not allowed to drive. They said she'll never be able to live on her own, all this other kind of stuff.
And none of that is because of emotional disability?
I'm not sure, because I know she's always been like that since she was, like, born, basically.
All right, let's go back. You have a sense that socially she's fairly sophisticated, and that she would have a sense of what the term homosexual or gay would mean.
Yeah, she knows what that means because she has a few friends that are that way.
Right, and she knows what sex is because she was sexually abused, right?
Yes.
Okay, and having been an abuse victim, whether, you know, cognitively delayed or otherwise, can make people confused about their sexual orientation or change their sexual orientation. So
dude,
it makes
five
sense.
Drinks can change my sexual orientation.
Right, so it makes sense that kind of thing would be happening to her. And, okay, so she's gay. There you go.
And it's probably better that way, so, you know.
Yeah, you won't have exploitative males around.
Any kids.
Boy, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's really true, you guys. I didn't think, because, as I have said earlier, males aren't predators. Just every time you see a guy, think a great white shark, and then you'll have guys pretty much covered. So that's actually a really good thing. Thank you very much for...
I can see that now in the cover of Cosmo.
Why? Just when you see men, you think great white shark?
Just think great white shark, think simple, that's all.
All right, we've got Dan, and I think we are going to have Doug, the lead singer.
That's what I hear, but we'll see. This car's really slow.
Can I tell you? Really?
No.
A rock star with a slow car?
No, I'm just kidding. It's really fast.
Can I tell you the truth? What's very cool to me? I'm glad. Not that it would be great to have Doug here, but I think rock stars are kind of losing their edge. First of all, none of you die on your own vomit anymore, and I miss that.
You know what? I do know what you're talking about, and I feel like all the hip-hop guys, and this isn't a knockdown to them in any way. This is props to those guys. But hip-hop guys, I feel like, are the real rock stars now. People just totally look up to them, and those guys get away with doing everything.
Right, but on the other hand...
But why don't you get no play, playa?
You know what I miss and I really look for in my rock stars? Because I'm 46 years old. One of the first concerts I ever saw was Led Zeppelin in like 1976. Yeah. So I've been around, and I was around when you'd go on stage and it was a bet as to whether somebody would make it through the show, whether Jimmy Page was just going to puke and be dragged off the stage or not. And I kind of like a little mystery to my rock stars. And now you know who's puking and being dragged off the stage? Lindsay Lohan. Let us take it back, okay?
Those young girls can party, man.
No kidding. All right, speaking of rock stars, we've got a song from your new CD, which, by the way, is called Every Man for Himself, hit stores today. And here it is. This is Inside of You by Hoobastank.
If I never knew, what do I have to do to get inside of you? To get inside of
down. I just gotta know. I just gotta know. What do I have to do to get inside of you? To get inside of you.
Nicely done. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That was Inside of You off the new CD, Every Man for Himself, and that, of course, is Hoobastankin' in stores today.
Hey, Dan, can I ask what that song is about?
When you said Dan, I thought I should answer, and I could tell you, too.
It's
you
about sexual intercourse. It's just about seeing a very attractive girl or a very attractive, and...
But if you're a girl listener, you can make... if you're listening to that and you're a girl, it would still apply?
Saying... I love the way you move when I'm inside of you.
Yeah,
so, unless you know, got like a strap on or something.
I'm one of those chicks that do this, which I hate, by the way. I don't know why chicks think that's exciting. I don't know anybody in the world well enough to touch me there.
First one up to the like the first knuckle is not bad, but anything after the first knuckle.
Yeah, I think it's all gratuitous, man. You got the crew going crazy. You got the crew giving you the salute in the next room.
He knows what I'm talking about.
I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. All right, let's just run down these phone lines then. And here is it Raina? Raina?
Raina?
Okay.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I'm 14 years old. And I use my bathtub just to masturbate.
That's okay. That's very, very common. That's something that...
that's something that I did when I was 14.
Yeah. A lot of women find their way to that. It's not going to hurt you. It's okay. It's all good.
You do use it in the shower as well, though, right? Not just to masturbate?
No, I don't. I just use my bathtub.
Right, but just so you know how normal this is, that until she became cognizant of what she was doing... My daughter did it on a jacuzzi. She's in bed. My daughter did it on the jacuzzi jet until right in front of everybody. Like, we'd be having an outdoor barbecue, and at 3 or 4, she'd get in it and do that because she didn't know what she was doing.
I'm just surprised that she just found out about it. I mean,
Yeah, right. Well, found out about the joys of a jet. I'm with you.
And although producer Ann's not in tonight, she was the one that first sort of described this in great detail. I mean, in terms of all the technique and how women do this. So.
There's technique?
Well, she talked about how women will sort of slide their rear up under the spigot, and let the water fall down on them, not just the jet, but actually, you understand, like, slide your rear under the faucet?
I
think she was just trying to get you hot.
I've heard that, though, from a lot of girls.
But what about the massage shower heads that you can just hold right there? That's the way to go. Wow, did I just make that noise for real on the radio? Sorry about that.
Do you have any questions about it?
No, so, I don't know why I do it, because, is this, normal?
Because you're normal.
Yes.
I'm only 14, though. It's not like
it's
I'm,
okay.
Like...
Relax. How long have you been doing it?
You're too late.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
No, 4 years.
Since you were 10. Well, one of the reasons that kids sometimes get to that early is if there's a lot of chaos in their home. And so was there a lot of stuff going on in your house?
Well, my dad died, but like
That's pretty heavy. What happened?
He was in like construction and he fell off like a 50-foot roof and then he like fell into coma and like I went to go see him and it sucked.
Yeah, I bet it sucked. I bet it sucked.
Okay, Doc, if you can find a way to turn the comatose dad into a hookup for the shower jet, I'm going to be impressed,
you. It's just that when kids are trying to regulate their feelings and they have no means available to them to overcome or manage very intense and overwhelming feeling states, self-stimulation is something they'll go to. Even very young kids will. I see this commonly, kids that come from very sort of chaotic or disruptive family systems. So it may be that's why you got to it so early. The fact that you're doing it now at 14 will be completely normal. So kind of go easy on yourself. Don't judge on it, right, okay?
Go easy on yourself as long as you go on yourself. That's the important part here. There's no reason to give this up.
Wait, is it going to be like, when I have sex when I'm older, is that going to be like, do you think I'll prefer the jet better? Or?
No, I think it will help you understand how things work. I think you'll be fine. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Good luck.
I'm sorry about your dad. That just blows.
That's a very tough day. Although when my father passed away, I certainly did not masturbate any more or less. It just didn't affect my masturbatory functions at all.
I would think maybe less.
Nope, I was fine. I mean, I wasn't in the room with the guy. That would have been weird. But no, it didn't slow me down at all. Wow, we have so many. It's so weird because Dr. Drew is kind enough to let me drive the ship tonight. And I don't know how every day in, day out, Doc, that you choose one call over the next. They're just, God, this is a great, this is a great show, man. So let's go to where my mind leads right now. Here's Gregory. Hi, Gregory.
Hello, how you guys doing?
We're good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I just have a question. I've been going out with my girlfriend for about 6 months now, and I want to have anal sex with her, but she won't let me.
Right.
Well,
when I've tried it before, and she slaps me and stops.
Well, you can't sneak up on her.
Well, remember what the other caller was talking about late at night, you know, her boyfriend just gets on top of her.
She'll wake right up.
Right in the middle of the night.
I promise you, you're going to wake up to a right hook, homie. Don't go there. You've got to talk about this. Remember when you were, your dad or your mom or somebody would try and build you up and give you confidence if you were going to do something, they'd say, start small?
Yeah.
You know this
okay, let's work with something smaller than your actual unit and
pinky.
Work our way up to it. Yeah. Pinky. Some little weird foreign object, because if you go to the nasty store, there are things in there with batteries attached that are made just for that activity.
Oh, I never even thought of that before.
Yeah, go small.
Oh, that's a good idea. How do I get her to talk about it? Because she's like closed down from the topic.
You know what's interesting is that you ever hear these rape stories and it's sort of being reported in the press, or you hear about it and the report goes, oh, you should rape brutally and then sodomize, and you think how did that happen? It's like trying to have sex with a bobcat. How do, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
How does that happen? It's just hard to understand that.
My wife at one point was willing. I think there's about a, you know how guys get a 7-year itch in marriage? At about 7 years into a marriage, all women make that an exit, and that's that. It's like that door's closed to you. That's what I used to catch you. Now it's over. Just buy me stuff. Oh, did that come out loud? I'm sorry. But, Gregory, here's what you have to do. You absolutely have to discuss it with her. And I believe I heard the sound of beer and or wine being poured. And that's not bad. Have a couple of glasses of wine and, you know, maybe be talking about sex in general and work your way up there. Because I know girls, I don't personally know them like in this way, but I've talked to them, that like that better.
Yeah, okay. But listen, that's
Man,
not
no
going to be
idea.
His that, you know, no, that's not his girlfriend. It just isn't. A lot of girls find it very painful. And
Obsessed with anal sex.
And the body is experiencing pain as a way of telling it that it shouldn't be doing that.
I love anal sex, and I actually masturbate that way as well.
Fantastic. And some women do, and that woman, that's not your girlfriend. So let her be.
Right. So, and Doc, I want to get this clear. Thank you very much. So the answer is talk to her, but you can never sneak attack on that one.
But I do like what you're saying, where you kind of work slowly.
Work your way up. Absolutely, because she might find that she enjoys it. But your take on this, Doc, is that it's a bad idea every time. Is that correct?
No, not every time. All right. You said, there are some women that orgasm only that way or more effectively that way, and their body seems to handle it. There's no pain. They just enjoy it. If you're having pain, just a rule of thumb, everybody. if something causes excruciating pain, just generally speaking, don't do it. Just generally. Just good health, good judgment, and just generally speaking.
Okay, I think you're overthinking, but okay. You know, if it hurts a little bit, that might be cool.
That's excruciating.
You did. I need literally 5 seconds to take this call just all by myself.
Yeah,
if you don't mind, because we're going to break.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Amy, go ahead real quick.
Excuse me?
Go ahead real quick.
Real quick what?
Say what you want called about.
Okay, I called because they're saying that Mormons are polygamous.
Nope. Here's why I get to take this call so fast, and you should probably apologize to me. I proved by his lack of knowledge that he was not a Mormon. It took me 2 seconds to prove that guy was not a Mormon, so we took care of that for you.
I thought polygamists aren't Mormon, though, so.
He said he was a Mormon, darling. It was on my screen. Okay? Okay, thank you. I'm glad I
did. You're Mormon?
Yeah, she's gone. I hated her. Oh, sorry.
Hey, by the way, here's the deal. Everybody who thinks they hear us saying things that apply to them, we're not talking about you.
Right. I went out of my way to prove that cat was not a Mormon.
Yeah, nor are we, we're not bigoted. We're not judging. We're not. We're just trying to help people. Okay.
There is no racial bigotry here.
I met a Ukrainian that I didn't like, but it wasn't because he was from the Ukraine. I'd like to point that out. All right, we'll be right back. It is Love Line. Our phone number is 1-800-LOVE. That's L-O-V-E 191. All right, this is Love Line. Our phone number is 1-800-L-O-V-E 191. He's Dr. Drew, and he is, of course, Dan Estrin. And you, sir,
are
Doug Robb. What's up, Doug?
Not much, man.
They're from Hoover State,
by the way. No applause needed.
Well, that's just kind of a... It's kind of
that's a seal type thing, right?
Yeah. And as long as I'm talking about Hoover Stank and they're sitting in front of me, they've got a new CD. It's called Every Man for Himself. We just heard some of it in stores today. So you got here as fast as you could?
Yeah.
What were you doing, man?
I was actually on the can.
You're not feeling too well.
The whole time?
No, not the whole time, but I'm not feeling awesome. But
oh, what's the matter? What's going on?
Yeah, well, you got a doctor right here.
That's right.
Little BM.
What's up, Dr. Drew? I've got this feeling in my throat right now. Like, it feels, like, very tight. Like I can't get a good, nice, solid swallow, you know? I don't
know.
You're
pansy.
You're getting sick. That's what's going on.
No, I don't think that's it, because my roommate said he just today he kind of felt the same thing, and he's got a lot of allergies, and he thinks that might be it. You think is that a possibility?
It could be. However, there's something going around right now that affects the throat, causes you get sore throat and swelling and difficulty swallowing, and then you get in sinus congestion and then cough. That's what's going on right now.
Well, I don't have anything else. It's not even sore. It just feels weird.
And usually
it
could
be allergies. Could be.
The first thing I think when I hear throat, though, is sick.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think allergies. I think runny noses and stuff with allergies. But I
hope not.
Who knows? Hey, you know what? We've got a big fan of the band on, so let's, Dahl doesn't have to be sex and drugs, although I'd certainly prefer it. But right here we have David. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Doug, I guess, is on now. Doug, I just saw you recently at a movie theater. You know me back from the day.
Nice.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys are doing any tours maybe down like the House of Blues anytime soon? Because I go there a lot. I see a lot of bands down there. I don't know if you guys are going to do anything like that. I mean, house shows like that, because that'd be really cool. I don't know if you're going to be doing that.
He just kept going with that. He just kept running with that one, didn't he?
Well, geez. Honestly, right now, I don't think we're going to be doing anything in the next month or so. Yeah. In L.A. or like that around here.
We got to take off and get out of the country for a little bit.
Yeah, we're heading out. But
Do you care to say where you're going, or are you keeping that top secret?
I don't care.
We're going to Japan and then Paris again.
Really? Touring?
Yeah, just promotions and tours and shows and stuff like that. This is actually, that'll be our second lap around the world this month. We're going west.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Jeez.
And they wonder why I can't stay healthy half the time.
Well, the other thing is, and I personally really wanted to thank you for this, being in radio as long as I've been, but it doesn't really, well, I've been in it that long, but you have a couple songs that are like 7 minutes long. Dude, I can smoke, I can have sex, the amount of things I can
like
do.
Like three times.
Dude, yeah! Oh, you know me. The amount of things I can do in 7 minutes, not since Pink Floyd, and I haven't been in radio that long, but I've been in rock radio, so I'll play them sometimes, and you just know if you're hearing The Wall, Danny's doing something seriously bad. Oh. And I just want to appreciate you for bringing those days back.
Well, go ahead. Listen all you want.
You'll make more? I will. All right. Let's see. I'm just going to run down the lines real quick. This is Paul. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hanging in.
I've actually been a huge fan of the show for a long time, and I'm actually just calling in. I think I might be bipolar, and I kind of want to go get evaluated for treatment, and I'm not really sure where. Do I need to go see a psychologist or therapist?
Psychiatrist. But what makes you think you're bipolar?
Well, I was diagnosed with depression. Well, not diagnosed. I've been treated for depression. I went through some hard times, like, right at the end of high school, and I got put on a bunch of Zoloft for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was like my mom was getting it for me. She worked at a pharmacy. And,
There's a really bad call.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah. Well, my parents are like, I grew up in a small town, and like my parents are going through a big divorce and all kinds of stuff. And
so,
they didn't
You mean so you weren't seen by a doctor? Your mother was administering the medication to you?
Yeah, she's a nurse, and my dad's a PA, and so they were kind of treating me.
Wow,
between the two of them.
That
yeah.
is listen. If she was the world's greatest psychiatrist, she shouldn't treat her own kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's not trained to do any of that. And she's treating her own kid. It's really bad news.
Yeah, it's kind of been an interesting life.
And one of the things that the serotonin reuptake inhibitors can do when people aren't properly diagnosed is trigger manias.
Yeah, that's exactly what it did, too.
So that's bad.
I would stay up for weeks at a time, days at a time working on projects for school, and, I mean, it was bad.
Beautiful.
Paul, just so you know, I used to specifically date pharmacists, preferably stupid ones. And when that stopped working for me, I discovered this really cool thing called Tijuana. And I got to tell you, as clever as you think you are and as well as you know your own symptoms, it's just such a bad idea. Now, of course, the doctor comes from a medical standpoint on this and knows what can happen. I, of course, stayed up 3 days, climbed the walls, and thought I was Jesus. All of this is a bad idea, okay?
Yeah, well, I was listening to the show last night, and you guys were talking to a guy who was... I don't remember what it was right now, but I felt like you guys were talking. Like, sometimes, Danny, when you talk, I feel like you're talking, like, specifically to me.
See, that's because you're crazy.
The way you talk about stuff,
That's the first thing. You know what? And no offense to you, I'm kidding with you, Paul.
No,
I have met, it's usually girls, and they go, I know you're talking to me on the radio. And no matter how hot they are, I know they're crazy.
Well, that is a psychotic symptom. It's either grandiosity as part of mania or, frankly, psychotic, where you actually believe that the people in the media are talking specifically to you, about you, or beaming thoughts into your head.
I actually have a very expensive dog that theoretically should attack on my command. It'll do everything else I ask. And it comes, of all these years, from the Partridge family when I was only 10, up through 46, this is the only time I've ever been scared, and it was because I got all this mail and then ran into it from a girl who insisted I was ruining her life by sending out encoded messages, and she wasn't kidding, and she freaked me out so bad. Well, I got a gun, and then I went, hey, kids, bad call. So then I went and got this dog, but that's from one person that thought I was sending them secret messages. Do you guys get that? Do you ever get crazy fans?
Yeah, I've got this one fan that, would emailed me once saying that that she had some type of, like, almost like religious experience with me in a dream, and then... I was like, cool, you know, whatever. she kept on mailing me for like a couple years, and I'd keep blocking screen names, and I'd stop. I wouldn't even read anything, and she eventually was. I think she did like 20 some odd different screen names trying to get these letters to me, and I don't open them, and it hasn't happened in a little bit, but. It's going to start up now because she's probably listening.
Yeah, she's
getting them. Yeah. I'm not reading them. Leave me alone.
He does love me.
It was some weird stuff.
All right. That's a good line six. I like a lot. Sherry. How are you, Sherry?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Thanks. You're on with Dr. Drew and Hooba Stank.
Okay.
I just like saying that.
Okay.
What's up?
At night, when I want to fall asleep, you know how most people have, like, a blanket or a teddy bear or something?
Okay.
When I fall asleep with my fiancé, I have to hold on to his penis, and that's the only way I will fall asleep.
Whoa. That's awesome.
You know what? I've known that.
I want
to
know how he falls asleep, though.
Yeah, because I'd have to let go of mine.
Well,
I will never let go of mine. I go, what are you doing? Man, I'm holding that. And unfortunately, there's not enough for the two of us. Exactly, Dan. Not enough for the both of us. You just touching.
What did you do before you had the boyfriend?
She's a pole vaulter.
she had a dog.
Didn't sleep?
Never slept,
I've been with him for about almost a year now, but before that I had a teddy bear, but...
All right. Here's the deal. I want you to hold on. Do not hang up on this caller. We're going to deal with her after the break. We have to hit this break right now. So hang on. Put it on hold, Danny. And
I did it already, Doc. I'm listening to you. We'll be right back. This is Love Line.
I can do this.
You are listening to Love Line. Our phone number, if you'd like to call, is 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, Doug Robb, Dan Estrin, Danny Bonaducci, Sherry, and her boyfriend's penis. I think I've covered it, yeah?
Yeah.
That's all of it.
I think we're good. Hey, Sherry, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good.
All right, where were we?
So, Sherry, you had a teddy bear previously, right?
Yeah.
And you never gave that up?
No, I did give the teddy bear up when I met him, but...
No, I mean you didn't give it up as an adult.
No.
And then you just took that. It's called a transitional object. And the teddy bear at once was the transitional object. Now your boyfriend is, and specifically his penis has replaced the teddy bear.
I'm going to start referring to my penis as a transitional object.
I'm going to start calling mine a teddy bear. I think we're cool. take the romance right out of it, Doug.
I'm very scientific.
You know, the psychoanalysts have all kinds of theory that that humans, particularly females, well, humans in general, see the penis as an object of power. And that women
it
sort
is.
Of...
It is.
Yeah,
depends
I know.
Who is, I guess.
Right. Hey, pull that thing out and chase somebody around. You'll see how powerful you are. Yeah. They're going to run.
Right. And Thank so you. Women see that as something that sort of makes them feel secure if they have, or that makes them feel complete. So, you know, there's some sort of human sort of, you know, reason for that. But I will tell you, it's not exactly what you call healthy or normal, I suspect.
How does he feel about it?
Right.
How does your boyfriend or your fiance feel about it?
Well, he's right here. He doesn't have any problem with it. He's,
I bet he doesn't.
Asleep, so. He falls asleep too.
He falls asleep. So you don't keep him up. It's just kind of like a. Is it just kind of like a lay a hand on the type thing, or is it a little tug in here, or what's going on?
I just hold it.
Do you know? But I mean, do you hold it like in your fist,
like stress balls, like
yeah.
Benoit balls?
I mean,
whatever.
Do you hold on to that baby so everything's safe and secure, or you just kind of rub it?
You like it safe and secure, I guess.
Yeah.
Does it? Is it more secure if it's erect?
Yeah, but.
Do you feel better if he's out as an erection? Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you sleep in the 69 with him and hold it?
No.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be nice of her. That'd be nice of her, Dad.
Yeah. That would be a weird way to sleep.
I just kind of flew. All right. So, Doc, awesome. Is there anything else you need to tell this lovely young lady?
No, it's just that, you know, there's something going on that made you not move through the normal developmental process of letting go of your transitional object when you were 5, like you're supposed to. And so, you know.
Well, I didn't start sleeping with a teddy bear until I was, like, 13 or 14. So.
Do you know
so you're like, you've got issues, huh?
Yeah, you'd have a blanket or something like that before that?
No, not really. Not that I remember, but...
Yes.
A large phallic...
Do you have any trauma history? Is there anything we should know about you?
No. Pretty normal, right. I guess.
Listen, it doesn't have to mean there's something horribly wrong. It's just, you know, whatever. It's fine. And
I've never been
It's working in that relationship anyway.
Yeah, I've never been in a long-term relationship with a girl that did it, because none of my relationships until my wife were long-term. But I've been with women who would fall asleep holding it, and it would almost seem normal and natural.
Yeah. Dude, who are these people, man?
Oh, dude, you got to come here. We get calls almost every night since I've been here about, hey, doctor, I don't know what's going on. When I'm with my girl, sometimes she shoots fluid. And I think, well, just shut up and say thank you.
Right,
what do you
right.
want the doctor's diagnosis
yeah.
for?
Just and your problem is...
Yeah,
get down and pray and say, oh, my God, because I've never even seen it in person. And we get calls every night from these
Most
people.
Most people have to pay for that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to be able to download it.
Right.
Maybe she
just really likes stuffed animals and penises.
Do you know what, Doc? Is
oh
this
my.
Because I want you to know that I have, when I was younger, but not, you know, terribly younger, not a kid, I went home with a girl one night from some club, and she's got to be 21 because we're at the club, but maybe even older. She may have been 25.
I've heard that.
And we walked into her home, and we got to her bedroom, and it was covered in stuffed animals.
Ew.
Yeah. I totally.
And, and unicorns everywhere, right?
Yeah, I totally. Like, I just went,
you
okay.
probably got the biggest boner, huh?
I knew it was sick
totally
and wrong.
Did,
I mean, I did her. Don't get crazy on me. But, I mean, still, is that a sign of something wrong that a grown woman would just have her bedroom just draped in stuffed animals?
It's a concern. And I'll tell you what, I have something I used to call Pinsky's sign. If in a psychiatric hospital you walk into a patient's bed, a room, and on their bed, a hospital bed, is a bunch of stuffed animals, that's a bad sign. That's a sign that we call of a primitive personality disorder or borderline personality disorder.
You and I have so much in common.
Yeah, if you see people bringing stuffed animals into the hospital, in particular psychiatric hospital, that means something.
You know what I hate? When you walk into a psychiatric hospital and it turns out they've got a 72-hour hold on you. That's always a drive.
I'm not sure you walked in then.
You got to prove to the doctor you're okay, not a danger to yourself or others, which is, I'm so going to hurt the person who called and got me in here. I have to lie. All right, let's cruise on down these lines. We got Scott, who is a big fan of Hoobastank. Scott, you're a lucky man. Hoobastank with their new CD, Every Man for Himself, in stores today. Sitting right here. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, I have got a question for you guys. You guys, as in Hoobastank. What happened to the sax player?
Wow, that's an old question. Well, I say that because the sax player in our band hasn't been in the band since 1999. So,
and the band is, how old is the band?
It's 11 and a half years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What happened? Jeez, I'm going to have to think hard. That was just kind of like, you know what, actually, this is the story. In 99, we pretty much got turned down by every single record company out there. And we kind of went back to the drawing board and we started writing all this new music. And I don't know, like, the more we wrote, the less room there was for the saxes, you know. And we actually tried having him play different instruments, you know, because we didn't want to, you know, kick him out because we liked the guy so much. But nothing seemed to really work out, so it was kind of difficult.
What about the flutes, the accordion, the chimes, and the trumpets?
Well, all those guys are in the band.
Those guys stayed.
We just had no room
for the sax.
I even underlined it, dude, that you guys had flutes, accordions, chimes, and trumpets.
Well, we thought the saxophone would have been overkill.
Too much.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's, Stacy. Stay, Stacy, are you with me?
Oh, yeah, hello.
There you go. Hi, Stacy, what's up?
Hey, I want to say, first of all, dudes, I love you, man. My whole life.
Dudes. Is that me, or did you say dudes or douche?
She just loves dudes her whole life.
Okay,
loves
cool.
Dudes. Thank you.
Who is she talking to?
Well, I thought I was talking to the dudes, right?
Oh, the douche. You are. That's very cool.
Do I actually know you?
I used to watch you all the time growing up, and I loved your little shenanigans on the show on Partridge Family, and I want to tell you, I love radio. That's my total passion in life. I did a show in Phoenix, and I was wondering if you can give me any advice how I can get into it, like you, besides, you know, become a child star.
You were giving us great advice how you got into radio during commercials.
Here's what you want to do.
Please?
The first thing you want to do is
take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin.
And then you could be an ex-child star, have a long rap sheet, take a lot of drugs, and you're in.
It's that easy. It's as simple as that.
Sex with some underage girls who say that they're really 21.
She was 21. I'm surprised that I'm going to plug this. I guess I can give this away free. So somebody please write down Stacy's phone number. I think I can do this. I'm teaching a radio class at the Learning Annex at the end of this month, and I'm assuming that I have the juice to give away a ticket or two, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah, you're looking at us like we run the annex.
Well, I don't know. I'm the teacher, and I'm on a huge radio station. I would think they'd probably love if I gave away a pair.
You didn't know where it was yet last night, so this is good.
I do know where it is tonight, but I left it at home. So still, just call. There's a phone number on this thing somewhere. 888-59-ANNEX. Do that. But Stacy, you are my guest, and I'm doing that. Just go to thelearningannex.com, whatever you need to do, and I'm doing a class there at the end of this month.
Look at that.
That was kind of cool that call came in, because I was going, how do I plug this thing without being a dick?
Well, you plugged it.
I did. Hey, I got that. Let's see, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're all good. What's up?
I did something really stupid, and I just wanted to know if you could tell me, like, why I would do something like that, if it's, like, from maybe, like, past abuse, or, like, am I bipolar, like...
You gonna tell us what happened, or...?
Yeah, you're just gonna lead us down to what
you did. No, I'm not gonna tell you. Okay, yeah, I will.
Thank you.
Oh, you changed your
mind.
I'd say you're schizophrenic.
I randomly slept with this guy, and there was, like, really no reason for it, because I've had a boyfriend for 3 years, and I kind of slept with him for money, and I don't really need it, and he gave me an STD.
And this new guy did?
Wait, there's more. Isn't there more about this STD and how he gave it to you?
He told me later that he gave it to me on purpose.
What?
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure it's herpes.
All right, so let me... You're pretty sure it's herpes?
Yes.
Right. We recap this, Danny.
Thank you very much. I'm going to... Rebecca has a boyfriend. She probably likes him quite a bit. One day she said, you know what? I'm just not sure what I'm doing with my life, so I'm going to sleep with that guy over there. Hey, let's do it over here. And then she thought, you know what? There's this really nice pair of Jimmy Choo's, and I want to get them right away because they go with my eyes, so I think I'll be a hooker. And then she took sex and had money for sex, and then she got herpes because she's got a little burning sensation, and now she's calling the doctor. How's that? Did I do okay, Rebecca?
Yeah,
that's good.
Did you know you were going to be accepting
God,
money, or
was
it just
so
the kind of
fun.
Thing where at the end the guy just kind of handed you money?
Like,
so it wasn't like a proposition.
Me a ride, and then I don't know what happened.
Well, just so you know, depending on how you took the money, because let's get the moral issue, at least one part of the moral issue out of the way. I have certainly given girls cab fare home, knowing the cab fare was like 20, 30 bucks at that time, tops, maybe less than that, and giving them 100 bucks just to be a cool guy. Now, is she a hooker or just reasonable?
No,
she didn't ask for money. I just said, here, man, here's your cab fare.
What did this guy do? What did he say? How did you know you were being paid for the sex?
Because he said he was in the entertainment business and stuff, and I used to have a modeling contract, and maybe if I sleep with him, maybe I could get back into that or something. I don't know.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah, I thought that was only in the movies.
Yeah.
Really?
Hold on. You sound totally lost. I mean, like you're just completely a mess
right
now.
My whole life is in chaos right now.
Why?
Because I'm graduating from high school, and I'm trying to set up for college, and I'm trying to work, and just a lot of stuff going on.
Where is the chaos? You're graduating high school like everyone does. You're going to college. That's a good thing.
I hear
you're working. Not so chaotic. Where is the chaos?
It just is.
All right.
Are you doing drugs?
Let's get the questions you can actually answer. How much money did you get?
About 100.
Not bad.
No, not bad.
But an actual call would be more than that. But those places you get all rubbed down and stuff, and then it ends in a happy ending, that's only like 90 bucks. Not that I know.
Or so we hear.
Yeah, so I've been told. Time to my wife asleep. So, yeah, you didn't do bad for 100, but now do you consider yourself a professional prostitute?
Wait, no,
I got another question.
Right after I was like so scared that like I would get something, or like I called him like 3 o'clock the next morning. I was like, I woke him up. I'm like, did you give me like anything? Because like I don't know.
You sound drunk now.
Huh?
Are you drunk right now?
Wait, yeah. Like was there some kind of big reveal? Like, you know, guess what? You've got herpes. You know, I got you. Well, I mean, how did he? What happened there?
Just like the stuff he was saying, like it made me like, I felt like he would say, like,
dude,
I'm not even supposed to have sex.
What is that music that you're listening to right now? What is that band?
It's the K-Rock promotion CD that you sent me.
Don't send it back because nobody here wants to touch it.
Yeah.
Now, what makes you think you have herpes?
Because, like.
Do you have symptoms? Do you have symptoms of herpes?
Yeah.
Doesn't syphilis affect the brain, Drew? Do you think maybe she has syphilis?
It sure can. Tertiary syphilis can.
Yeah, so does Cuervo, okay?
Yeah. What makes you think you have herpes?
Because of what I look like.
Well, I'll tell you what would you look like would come secondary to what you would feel like. That's how you notice what you look like.
Yeah, what makes you think that you... Listen, we don't know how what you look like. What makes you think you have herpes?
I know what you look like if I was there a while ago.
Because, like, I know about that stuff, and...
Sounds like it.
Well,
I don't know how to describe it.
What?
I want you to describe it, and we'll help you decide if it's something that actually is likely to be herpes, okay?
Okay,
When he says we, he means
there's him. What? Yes. There's what?
They're sores.
They're sores, and they're like ulcers? They white?
Yeah, kind of, and it really hurts to pee, and...
Where are the sores?
Huh?
Where are the sores?
On my genital area?
and you can see them?
Yes.
Without a mirror, because then they're huge.
No, they're not that big.
They could be herpes. Hurt when you pee could just be a urinary tract infection, and maybe the sores are just irritation.
But, so like, doctor, this happened a week ago.
Yeah, it's about right on time. Did you feel like you had a flu before the sores came on?
No, not really.
Did the guy say that he had herpes when you confronted him?
No, not yet, but I went and got checked. And
wait, so how do you know? You said he gave it to him on purpose.
Because he told me. But he said, I gave you an STD. He didn't tell me which one it was.
You gave him an STD?
Huh?
You gave him one?
No, he gave me one.
He told you that?
Yeah, he just told me he gave me one in general, but he didn't specify which one.
Why was he doing this? This is cruelty, right? This is not something like he found out he had it and then called you. He knew he had it and did this to you on purpose.
Yeah.
This is a guy who hates you a lot, because if a guy has herpes, he knows how much they hurt, how much they burn, what a drag it is, how expensive the medication is.
This is a total mess.
You got a boyfriend. I don't really know him.
All right, can you find somebody to help you out, the mental health or child protective services or a counselor at school, somebody, an adult to help you? Is that possible?
But, like, what is there to do, though?
I think this is that girl's cousin that called a while ago that was retarded.
This is the retarded girl?
Yeah, are you a lesbian?
No.
Okay, no, it's not her.
You need some help getting through this. There are maybe the doctor that's treating the herpes. This guy may need to be some legal action here against this guy.
That's assault.
But then again, she took money for sex, and she's guilty of something there. So I don't know.
Yeah, prove that. This.
And you said there's chaos, and yet you haven't told us what the chaos is. If you need help, let's get you some help, all right?
Well, I'm just in financial trouble. That's why.
Where are your parents?
What'd you do with that $100?
I don't have any.
You don't have parents?
You don't have parents?
Oh, my God.
Becky.
My mom was in Mississippi with my sister, and I've never met my dad.
Your mom's where?
In Mississippi.
Which is kind of the same as dad.
All right. And who are you living with?
Friends.
Oh, boy. So there's the chaos. You're completely on your own.
Your life is in turmoil.
Yeah, get some help. Let's deal with this. Because do you think you're going to be? Do you have a history of sexual abuse yourself?
For about 10 years.
Except for that, do you have
that's
any?
Sex?
Except for those 10 years.
Yeah.
Except for that nasty little decade.
Except for those 10 years, was there ever any abuse?
Oh, that's so bad. 10 years.
Across
the country, my whole life.
All right, meltdown, disaster. Of course, not only is there chaos in your external life, but internally things must feel awful, and you're moving down this path towards prostitution, and you may have, in spite of yourself, as you say, be getting into this. Let's get some help before more STDs and more
trouble. My question for you, doctor, then, is in serious business, because Rebecca, as the person on this phone, kind of bugs me, but as a young lady in need of assistance, I guess that's our job. What does she really do actually first, like tomorrow? Is there a phone number she should call? Is there a specific doctor she should see?
I would call either talk to the doctor who treated the herpes or call Department of Social Services.
Has a doctor treated your herpes, Rebecca?
No, not yet.
You said you went and got checked out.
Yeah.
Who did that?
By this teen clinic. I don't know.
All right, Ed, go back to the teen clinic and tell them your story and ask for help, okay? Assistance, all right?
Yeah, ask for a counselor, too. I mean, they will hook you up at those places. Yes. They really, yes. I mean, if the more wreck you go in there, because I get insensitive, and I don't know why, because I've gone crawling into more institutions begging for help. I really have. I don't know why I'm less tolerant than I should be. But the fact is, those people truly, truly care. And if you ask for help, they'll give it to you. But my money's on you don't do anything.
Right.
Well, that you ignore us completely. How am I doing with that, Rebecca?
Kind of.
Thought maybe.
Yeah, so you just call to hear yourself on the radio.
Dan, tell her to do something. She'll listen to you.
You're Hoobastank. Come on, help us out here.
You know, seriously, just go buy a record. It came out today.
What's it called? What's that record called? I think it's called Every Man for Himself, and I couldn't be more appropriate.
I agree with you, though, Danny. Like, as a caller, this is painful, but as a person, she's got to do something.
Yeah,
you know?
It's weird, because we're sitting here. But that's normally because I have Dr. Drew. So, Dr. Drew, I was telling these guys before you got here that I said, here's what we can do because we have Dr. Drew. So we can say any bizarre crap we want, but then end it with...
And he pulls it together.
That you should definitely seek therapy, or you should really see a doctor. But before that, we can do anything we want because we've got a real doctor.
You've got a safety net.
Yeah.
You're a giant safety net, and she has to go and take care of that. She can't be scared or just, like, whatever.
Now, Doc has a this vast amount of experience with people like that because I flee.
Yeah.
I have no time to... Because that's my gallery. I could get sucked into her life as quickly as she could go get help. No problem. What are the odds, Doc, that she'll actually really go and ask for help?
I don't know how to answer that. I want to believe she's going to do it. I understand they're very resistive, and they have a great deal of difficulty trusting anybody, whether it's over the airways or at the teen clinic. But she's already gone in once. Maybe she'll think about it tomorrow, and God willing. And she doesn't seem to be an addict, although we didn't ask her about that. And that by itself may be enough to move her, or at least not be so much baggage that she's unable to come to her own aid. So I'm hoping she's going to go.
That's why they pay the big bucks, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Band is Huba Stank. We appreciate that, Dr. Drew. Danny, we'll be back in a second. All right, this is Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. That is our phone number. Feel free to call it. We have special guest Huba Stank with us. The lead singer is Doug Robb, and the guitar player, what do you like?
Shredder. We call him the Shredder.
That's badass. I wish I could do that. That's something I totally wish I could do.
Shred?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That's something I wish I could do, too.
I'm sure there's some things you can shred if you want.
Dude, I never learned how to play that bass. We sold 28 million albums. Okay, I'm doing all right. Dr. Drew, who was thinking? Now, one of your crew members, Joel, is here with us. Great guy. I was just outside smoking a cigarette with him. He goes, these are the weirdest calls, man. This is what a great job. I said, oh, wait till you hear the next one. So, ladies and gentlemen... No, it's not that. In our world of bad, this is nothing. I just thought it was kind of interesting. Hi, Alyssa, how are you?
Good.
What?
What's up, homie?
Okay, me and my friends were talking about this the other day, and it's kind of like a weird question, but, well, it's kind of sick, too. But, my friend had said that, like, her friend, her parents, like, couldn't find her drinking, so she, like, basically, like, put a tampon in, like, alcohol. And, like, used it. And, like, apparently it got her, like, way more drunk than normally. And I didn't believe it. So I was just wondering if that's even possible.
Was she sucking on the tampon?
And then, of course, you want to put a mint up there to cover your breath.
Yeah. But she's dip it like a sponge and then squeeze it over her mouth?
Squeeze it into a shot glass?
No, I think this may work, Doc.
No, she means an intravaginal alcohol-soaked tampon.
Yeah.
Well, you could take an alcohol enema.
Girls have all the fun, let me tell you.
Hey, you've got orifices.
Yeah, jeez. Alcohol enemas will actually deliver large amounts of alcohol, but you got to remember the colon is an absorptive, particularly for fluids, an absorptive surface. The vagina, I don't think it will, because it's like holding alcohol in your mouth. It doesn't really get absorbed that way.
Yeah, so but did your friend say that she put the tampon, you know, in her butt?
Well, I don't know. She just said that her friend, like, used it, and she didn't say it was her mouth because I asked that, so I'm not really sure which one.
Right. If you say used it, it sounds like it goes for its intended purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
The
front door, not the back. But I will tell you this. See, this is where we've got Dr. Drew, the expert. We've got Huba Stank, the rock band, who's probably done lots of people.
Things.
And then you've got me. And that my sister-in-law, God bless her soul, when she passed away from cancer, she had a bunch of morphine suppositories left over.
Oh, well done, Danny.
Thank you.
Why is Joel shaking his head? Like,
Joel just loves me. That's why.
I know those.
And both my brother and I, not simultaneously, obviously, inserted them, and God, just wasted. So the doc's right. That will full on work. Right.
Wow. This is your brother, whose wife has just died.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good time.
What's your point, Doc?
Just saying.
I mean, she wasn't in the room with us.
Oh.
It's not like we were
stealing.
They had
some respect.
She wasn't using them anymore. What's wrong with you? What kind of person do you think I am, you rat bastard, Doctor? You?
You just don't like to waste things, you know?
Yeah.
You're a very, you know, efficient person.
Yeah.
Like, when you want to, you know, thoroughly.
My brother was in mourning, and I felt that I should support him in his hour of need. That's all I'm saying.
Just saying.
And that's what I do when I support people, shove things in my ass.
You too, huh? Yeah. Where are the keys? Check, Doug.
I don't know. I thought you needed support today, but here, you can have them back.
Support of our troops, I'm going to shove this in my ass. Yeah.
So here's the deal. Here's what I get, Alyssa, from the doctor, that it will not work in your vagina. It will work in your rectum, right?
All right. Well, I'm not.
I would just drink it.
Yeah, no, what is the problem with drinking it? Even though people your age should not drink.
Like, I guess, like, couldn't get caught by her parents. So she was like, oh, well, let me try it this way, I guess. I don't know.
Well, is she trying to drink, like, right in front of them? Or what's the deal?
No, no, no.
Her boyfriend might get drunk.
Like, at a party, but then she had to go home.
Right, what's happening here? As a man who is, boy, I love that. Sometimes all this life skill actually works for me. As a person who has failed at quitting drinking 100 times, and I never admit it till I'm caught, I'll swear on any Bible. It's not like God's going to strike my children dead, so I'll swear on the lives of them, no problem. Doesn't bother me a bit. What kind of God's going to smite my beautiful kids because I drink?
Hey, man.
Hey, Danny, we drinking? I swear on my children. So what happens is you're worried about them smelling your breath. And almost no one comes home and says to their daughter, hey, let me sniff your butt. So you figure that that will get you through, right? Is that her thinking?
Yeah, it's her thinking. But it's alcoholic thinking. That is not casual use of alcohol. That is desperate, motivational distortions.
Teenage drinking.
No, no, it's alcoholic drinking.
I mean, so. Do you really need to do that much to fit in at a party?
Well,
what party do you fit in with an alcohol?
No, I mean, to be you know, wasted. You know, like, just to have to, you got to go that far to have fun at a party, to walk around with a, you know, yeah. Whiskey.
No, I know. That's actually, Doug makes a very a good point. Now, of course, I'm older than you, but I've been a uncontrolled drunk for many years. And the fact is, it's not cool anymore. Nobody wants to be the drunk guy anymore.
No. Yeah.
They always provide entertainment for the rest of the people.
Yeah, and then you live with that stuff. And I'll tell you, I can't say nothing, but I've put very few things in my butt to intoxicate me. I can't believe after telling that story I had to realize, oh, well, wait, I actually have. I'm sorry.
Yeah, never mind.
It's basically, if I get the doctor right and Hoobastank and me, just it's a bad call. You're going too far if you feel
it's
you
a bad sign more than a bad call.
Right.
It's going to lead to no good.
She's alcoholic. This is alcoholism. But anyway,
you're right. This was a very interesting call, though.
Told you. Outside smoking stogies. Hang around. You're gonna love this next call.
Yeah.
By the way, in just a couple of minutes, we're going to play another cut off of Hoobastank's new CD, Every Man for Himself. It's going to be, I believe, the first of me. Is that right?
Yes,
that's
sir.
The song. All right. I think we've got time to go to a couple more first. This is Kristen. How you doing?
Hi, Danny. How you doing?
We're real well, thank you.
Good. Hi, Hoobastank. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, I had a question regarding my implants, Dr. Drew.
What kind of implants?
My breast implants.
Okay.
I've had them for 10 years. It'll be 11 years in September. And wanting to know if I should have them replaced. I'm having zero problems. Everything's been great, but I don't know if they really have a sort of shelf life.
Are they hard?
No, not at all.
No, I would say not. If you're not having any, if they're not leaking, if they're not scarring, if they're not moving, no, by all means, just keep it, you know, don't do anything.
Yeah,
have you had a mammogram with them?
That's a good thing. You know, I'm afraid to do anything to them because everything's been fine, but almost to mammogram age, I'm 36.
Right.
But I'm done having children. I've already had 2 kids, and, you know, I'm just thinking more for upgrade purposes.
Hey, my wife breastfed after having implants.
What's
you know,
that?
My wife breastfed after having implants. I think one having to do with kids is not the same, has nothing to do with the other.
You know, there is some data recently that showed actually lower incidence of breast cancer in women that have implants.
I don't know if it makes any difference. I got them in between my kids, so I nursed one before, and then I, you know, nursed one after I had it.
I like that we have a judge. I think the doctor is telling you that don't bother to do it. If they're not broken, don't fix them.
Yeah,
exactly. Although, wait till you go get your mammogram and you see the first x-ray, and it's just this, it looks like you're nothing but a tumor. And it's bound to scare you, but you'll be fine. Hey,
mammograms are less accurate with the implants in, but yet the incidence of breast cancer is lower, seemingly, with the implants.
Cool. Well, the Love Line is lucky enough to have Hoobastank with us in studio. We really do appreciate that. So why not play another song off their CD? The CD is, of course, called Every Man for Himself, and this song is The First of Me. That was Huba Stank right there. It's from their new CD, Every Man for Himself. That hit stores today. That's the first of me. And by the way, let's just take these. Oh, you know what? Your plugs. I have been so remiss. You're on like 87 television shows in the next couple of days, right?
I think so.
What do you got? You got Jimmy Kimmel? Who knows what night well, that
tomorrow
is?
Tomorrow
Kimmel's on Friday, I think.
Tomorrow I think we're doing Carson Daly.
I got it right here written down
Wednesday
for me.
Wednesday the 17th.
They will be on, thanks, Doc. They will be on Carson Daly Wednesday the 17th. Jimmy Kimmel live on Friday the 19th. You guys are getting everywhere. Cool.
Hey, when's that CD USA thing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. No, I mean, we're shooting it one day, but then it's being aired a different day, I think.
Right. And then I think, what is it, Ellen DeGeneres next week or something like that?
I don't know.
Dude, we really didn't need you guys for this part. There's less information about you than we knew.
We just know that the record came out today.
Right, yeah, right.
That's the important part. And if absolutely. You're a young girl putting alcohol in her butt, the first thing you need to do is buy the new Huba Stank CD.
That'll heal you right up.
Right.
Speaking of, let's go to Grace. Hey, Grace.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we're here for you. What can we do for you?
Hi, Huba Stank. Hi, Doug. Hi, Dan. I'm a huge
fan. Hi, Grace.
What's going on?
Just hanging out.
Well, I just wanted to know what your favorite song is off the record. Obviously, Every Man for Himself, you know.
By the way, I should point out that she got the CD. It says right on my screen
cool.
as soon as it came out.
You know what?
That last song we just heard.
Yeah, there's a couple on there. It kind of depends what mood I'm in, but I feel for the most part that last song that was just on The First of Me is one of my favorites, and also a song called Moving Forward that's one of my favorites.
I like that one too.
Cool.
Like, beginning is really cool.
That means you're smart.
Is that what that means? That's the one? All right, good. That's a nice call right here. Hey, Juan.
Hey, this is a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And, okay, so I have been hanging out with this guy, Robert, since I was maybe in high school, and I'm 20 years old now. And he's one of the first people I came out to. And so we've been really close friends, and recently we've been hanging out pretty often, and we'll go out and, he'll get kind of drunk, or says he's kind of drunk or whatever, and we'll end up staying at my house because he doesn't live very close to where I live. And so we'll end up, messing around or, basically, doing oral or whatever. And he, whenever I talk to him about it, he starts, kind of getting uncomfortable saying maybe that he's not gay or even bi or something. And, it just makes him kind of confusing because I kind of want to know, what his deal is because it happens kind of often. And
he's confused.
All right, let me see if I get this straight and kind of condense this for you, Juan. Yeah. What happens is you came out to a friend of yours, and now when he has a few drinks, he goes to your house, and somebody or both of you end up performing oral sex on the other. I need to know real quickly, is it both of you or you just do it to him?
Both of us. Usually it's, reciprocal.
He's gay.
He's gay. Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And he's having trouble dealing with that. And there is this sort of category of men who have sex with men that they sort of maintain heterosexual relationships. But really, ultimately, let's face it, he's
I got
gay.
Three
he's
words for
trouble.
You. G-A-Y.
Yeah. You know, the first hint that this guy might be gay is when he started having oral sex with men.
Yeah, that's kind of a giveaway.
Right when he put the penis in his mouth.
And he's having trouble coming to terms with that. Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Our phone numbers, again, are 1-800-LOVE-191. So this is Love Line, the young man talking about Huba Stank.
Really good.
That would be Doug and Dan. This is Dr. Drew. I'm Danny. And, hey, remember you guys I was telling you about sometimes we get calls where a guy will call up and say, my girlfriend kid just ejaculates fluids. What is it? What's going on? You think, just shut up and thank
you
God.
Go.
Check this out, Doc and Huba Stank. We've got one of those right here. I think this is just, this is a really good call for me because you just wonder why they bother. Hello, Angela.
Hi.
Angela, tell us about your blessing.
It is. That's what it is.
You're gifted here, aren't you?
It is a blessing, and it's very hard for me to understand when your callers call in, they can't have an orgasm. And during intercourse, I can have at least 11 in a 30-minute period of time on my own, watching whatever I choose
Flintstones?
To watch.
With Will and Grace.
I can have 30, as many as I want, as many as my body can handle.
Right, you go to exhaustion.
And
right.
why are you calling? Is it just to brag and torment those of us that can have one at a time?
No, I honestly am wondering because I feel like a freak because...
No. You are a small... You represent a small percentage of women who are capable of doing this.
But that's and what that's
women
what
like
wondering.
You, it's just interesting. It's a blessing. It's a mitzvah, as your people say. and it is the case that you typically won't like oral sex and will orgasm relatively...
No. I absolutely love it.
Okay, so you have...
But doesn't your head blow off? If you can climax...
Hey,
Dan.
I love it.
So you have sequential orgasms. So you're... Women that have multiple orgasms tend not to like oral sex because it's too sensitive, it's too uncomfortable. But you have sequential orgasms. So it takes you have one, you're a little refractory, then you have another, and you have another. You don't have one every 30 seconds.
No, it's more like every 15 seconds.
Oh, you have one right after the other.
Vagina. Yeah,
and yet you like oral sex. That's kind of unusual.
I guess.
Yet your
it.
Fingers aren't too sore to dial the phone. If I could do that, my fingers would be bleeding constantly.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew, is this, you know how I read in magazines or whatever, they say, like, you know, so much of a female orgasm is, like, obviously being relaxed and it's a lot of mental.
Yeah, but this is
strictly physiological?
This is a genetic, biological condition. That
is it really?
Again, yeah, 50% of women have one orgasm and can't have orgasm with intercourse. They'll only have with oral sex. There's a intermediate zone where they have sometimes with intercourse, mostly reliably with oral sex, but some of them within that category can have sequential orgasms, like, say, could have three in a 20-minute period.
By the
and
way,
as you get over that,
the 50% that can't have an orgasm from actual sex, they're the half I sleep with. One of them.
So this isn't something she could share the secrets of. You know,
no, anybody. There's no way to change.
It's not like a diet or a workout schedule. No. We can all go on
a
pill.
Honestly, it's like a frame of mind that you get into, and it's like a non-reality. I mean, it's not that it's an escape from sex. You know, it's that I just
tell me how pumped you guys
erotic.
Would be.
Totally. Are you sober when this is going on?
Yes, I am.
Tell me how pumped you guys would be if we could do that.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
Danny
would never come out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My eyes would sink back into my head.
If guys could do that, the world would come to a stop.
Yeah.
That is the ultimate bonus.
I'm sorry, what?
The ultimate boner?
For me,
what?
I love it. I love it's like a power position to get a guy to that place where you just get him right there, and then you stop, and then you get him right there.
Hey, yeah, I'm starting to get an erection right now.
Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah.
Can you talk slower?
And a little to the left.
Doug, put your pants back on.
Okay, sorry.
Wow. Well, we're all grateful that you exist, Angela.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for calling me.
And if you can think of a way to harness that and spread it around.
Or write a book.
Or something.
Don't Bogart the orgasm.
Yeah, stop. Stop Bogarting it.
By the way, that Bogart is a medical term from Dr. Drew right there. That's the kind of call you love. You just got to wonder about that. That's just so awesome. David, what are you doing?
Holy
David,
crap,
I'm talking to you, man.
That I wanted to keep into that.
I know.
Get your hands out of your pants, David.
It's like she's a hit record now. We're going to put her in heavy rotation.
It's like my problems are done. Thanks, guys.
I don't think so. I think, as a matter of fact, that call might have hurt your problem. Explain.
It did. I'm a chronic masturbator. The first thing when I wake up is I want to masturbate. When I get home, I want to masturbate. That's the first thing.
Right?
I thought I was our drummer for a second.
Did you just start? How long ago did you start masturbating?
Oh, I've been masturbating since I think I could, which was like eighth grade. You know, nothing came out, though. I just felt the...
Not constantly since the eighth grade. You might finished, put it away a couple of times since then, right?
Dude, you beat off?
Wait, so what's cool? How many times a day? Did you already say that?
Well, no, have time, as many as I can. But, I mean, right now, I work a lot of hours, so...
Well, what would you say the average is? Like a week?
A week, on my days off, I'd say about 12 total. I'd say about 30 Ooh. Times.
You need to take a day off the spank?
My God,
are you scabbing
dude?
Up?
God.
Have you ever had or do you have a girlfriend?
He's got the buffest arm.
Nah, dude,
and the thickest skin.
No, listen, I'm a good-looking guy, but the only reason I haven't been able to go, get with a girl and have her play with my wing is because of the problem I got.
It's because that giant ice bag you're walking around on your nuts.
Well, actually, right. There's a problem there. Go ahead. Tell the doctor. Oh,
no. That's okay. Not attractive.
Uh-oh. Yeah. More?
Well, yeah. About 4 years ago, you know, when I get bored, I masturbate, and I had a day off, and I seriously went at least, I'm not playing, about 10 to 12 times I masturbated that day.
Yeah.
And by the last one, you know, my wang was really red, and the skin around it was really red. And the next morning, I woke up with a bunch of cuts on, you know, the extra skin around my penis.
You're not circumcised?
No, I'm not circumcised, okay. No.
You know, we gotta wrap this up. What is the question exactly?
The question is, I have fungus growing around it. You know, I can't really pull the skin back to find, you know,
Ajax,
something maybe? To cure it with. But I've had medicine, but they cut me off.
What do you mean they cut you off?
Like,
you should have cut off your foreskin, then you wouldn't have this problem.
Or his right hand.
That may be what they need, too. But the fact is, look, you've excessively masturbated to the point that you've injured yourself. You need to see a urologist. You may need a circumcision. And this is sexual compulsion. This is something that needs to be treated. It's getting severe enough that you can't have a real relationship. You're having, you know, you can't.
Also, how about a hobby, man? You say you do it when you're bored. Why don't you find something else to do?
This is sexual addiction. You may want to see a therapist about this. We got to go to break.
Yes, we do. Our phone, well, I don't have to give you them right now. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, thank you very much for listening to Loveline, the band. Hoobastank, thank you very much for coming in, you guys. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
The CD came out today. It's called Every Man for Himself. You can see him on Carson Daly and on Jimmy Kimmel and pretty much everywhere else. Anything else you want to wrap up or add there, Dr. Drew?
No, let's get it going.
Let's get the hell out of here. We'll see you tomorrow.